Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. While you're getting in and getting settled, how about let's greeting our friends and neighbors sitting next to us and across the aisle. Let's pass the peace, please. Good morning. Let us continue our worship service as we sing our hymn of preparation, which you will find on the inside top of your bulletin. Of interesting things that are going to be happening this week, and a couple that are really very important. In addition to the fun basketball games that are being played this week, and we do want you to go out and support the team, there are two meetings that are very important. The first one is the stewardship committee meeting, which will meet at 5:30 on Monday. That's a very important meeting, and we would urge you all to mark your calendars. You know if you're supposed to be there. Please make a special effort to get there. Also, on Thursday of this week, there will be a communications committee meeting. It will meet at 5:30, and that's an important committee meeting too. So if you're supposed to attend that, please star that on your calendar. And finally, next Sunday, there will be a training session for those folks who are interested in being the scripture readers on the Sunday mornings. We are so fortunate that Myra Schaefer is going to provide us a training session, and we'd like for you to call the office if you are interested in coming. That's a very important part of our church life, and we would like to include you if you are interested in participating. Now, let us center our minds and hearts as the acolytes enter the sanctuary with the light of Christ. Thank you.
Let us read responsibly the call to worship that's found in your bulletin. I call you to be holy as I am holy. I will bring to light the things now hidden. I will reveal the purposes of your hearts.
Join with me now praying the prayer of invocation as seen in your bulletin. God, we have come to worship you. We thought we could come on our own terms, but your word proclaims your rule over this gathering and in all your creation. Help us to hear your will for us, not as limiting and oppressive, but as free, fulfilling, pathway to life. We want to be your faithful children. We want to experience life at its best. You may be seated. I have signs and wonders following my ministry. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gifts offered to us without price.
Reverend Martin and congregation, I present
Penner Hammond Stone for baptism.
If you would turn in your insert in your bulletin, if the family would come. Good morning. Baptism is a covenant time. We are reminded of the racket that I make when I'm looking. Hopefully this will calm down. And so to the parents, I ask you these questions. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture Tana in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his Christian faith, and to lead a Christian life? To the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include Tana now before you in your care? Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic
Church, the communion of saints, the Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John, anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations.
Prepare the works of the nations, his glory among all the people.
pour out your Holy Spirit to bless these gifts of water and they who receive it, to wash away their sin and to clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in His final victory. Not that. We'll fix it. Tana, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Through baptism, he is incorporated by the Holy Spirit into Christ's new creation and made to share in Christ's glory. Members of the household of God, I commend Tanner to your loving care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We're going to nurture this.
Let us continue our worship service this morning by praying the prayer that's printed in your in insert, the litany of the Golden Cross. O God, restorer of all things, you call us to health and wholeness in your healing power. Today we pray. Holy Spirit, the sustainer who stands for us in our weaknesses, you give us the love and strength to stand and watch and wait with those we love who suffer. And now we continue to pray. Loving God, who calls each of us according to your purpose, you call us to care for those who need us. We also pray. God, who brings us order out of chaos, we give you thanks for the organizations which care for us in our times of need. We pray. May we, as your church, be the body of Christ for the world, participating in your acts of mercy and grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Let us enter into an attitude of prayer. Our gracious Lord, as we pause on this Sabbath day, to be reminded again of the freedoms that we enjoy as Americans and as Christians together, to come and to worship and to lift up our hearts in praise and adoration for you. We pray for those other peoples of the world who on this very day are struggling for their freedoms, who are crying out for fairness, for responsibility of leadership. And we are reminded of those who struggled so long ago here on our very soil for freedom, for responsibility in government. We thank you for that which we have received from them, and we pray for those others. We pray for their country, for their peace during this tranquil, tumultuous time. We pray again for those who have needs within our own church community and those of our extended families, for those who have lost loved ones and those standing in need of a touch of your healing hand upon their physical body. We thank you for courage in the midst of the transitions of life. Faith that reassures us that God is in control. So, Holy Lord, this day, as we pause for this moment to pray for those needs deep within the recesses of our hearts, as we pray for those who are friends and those who are enemies, those who are near and those who are far. Holy God, let your will be done in their lives and our lives. And be with those who are away from home, in the military, on the mission field, for whatever reason. Those who are afraid at this very moment. Be with us, Almighty God, as we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come, please, as we worship the Lord with our morning tithes and offerings.
stewards to give to your kingdom. Bless these gifts. May they be used for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ in so many places. Bless the giver, those who have not and those who chose not to give this day. To all we give glory and honor to your holy name. For it is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
You may be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
Everybody. Last week during children's time, Coach Jula talked about being prepared. Do you remember when he talked about that? And he said that we should always be prepared. And one of the best ways that I think we can be prepared is to know scriptures and to have them in our hearts and to have them in our minds. So that when we're in difficult situations at school or at home or when you're playing sports or playing with your friends or whenever, then you know you have those scriptures that God tells us and we can remember how he wants us to handle situations. And one of the things that God tells us to do in Matthew is to love our enemies. What does enemies mean? What does that mean, Cece? Right. And we all probably have people that maybe aren't our enemies, but maybe we don't get along very well with, or maybe they don't always make very good choices, and so it's hard to be around them sometimes. Can you think of people like that that you know? Maybe somebody in your class that you think of that's sort of a bully, or maybe even sometimes our sisters and brothers maybe are kind of difficult to be around sometimes. But God wants us to love them no matter what they do. He wants us to show his love to them. And so we want to be prepared, like Coach Jula told us. And so we want to remember those scriptures in our hearts and in our minds. And so my second grade Sunday school friends today helped me. They made all these hearts for me. So you see all these hearts? We have big hearts and little hearts and skinny hearts and fat hearts and some hearts that are perfectly straight and some that are kind of curvy. All kinds of hearts we have. And so these hearts, they kind of make you think about what special day did we have this week? That's right, Sanders. Did you take Valentine's to your friends at school? And you probably took one to every single person, didn't you? And I bet every single person brought a Valentine to you. It's all right, Sam. No, they can have the heart, Sam. It's fine. We're talking about love, sharing. Okay. And so, put them down. And so I brought these two books. I'm not going to read them to you. But one of them is called Billy Bully. And you know what happens in this story? Billy the Bully. That's right. He's a bully, and he's named Billy. And he's not nice to his friends at school. He cuts in line, and he snatches things away from them, and he hogs the ball when they're playing sports. And people don't want to be his friends. And one by one, he loses all of his friends. And he wakes up one day, and he realizes he doesn't have any friends left. But you know what happens by the end of the story? He realizes that all his old friends are still friends with one another because they're kind to one another and they love each other and they look out for each other. And so he's able to earn back all of those friendships. So by the end of the book, he has all of his friends back because he realized by looking at the example of all of those other friends being loving and kind that that's how you keep your friends. And Robert, do you remember this book that we read last year, A Weekend with Wendell? You remember that book? Do you remember what happens in the story with Wendell? No? Well, Wendell goes to spend the weekend with one of his family members, and he's not very nice. He wants to be in charge, and he wants to tell the little girl what to do all the time, and he's real bossy. Can you think of people that might be bossy in your life? And sometimes when they're being bossy, sometimes you might want to, you know, be bossy back to them, right? Or tell them what to do and not always be nice. But God wants us to be loving and kind to them and to show them how to be a good friend or how to be a good family member. And that's what happens in the story, A Weekend with Wendell. By the end of the story, they learn to really appreciate each other and they're really good friends. And Wendell doesn't want to go home. And his family that he came to visit, they don't want him to leave because they learned to be really good friends and to be loving and kind and to think of each other and not just themselves. Okay? So this week, that is Big Hannah. That's right. That's the one that Ann Baker made. And so this week, when you're at school and at home and playing with your friends and your family, I want you to remember that God wants us to be loving and kind, even if somebody's not being all that nice to us, okay? So let's remember to be prepared and to have that scripture from Matthew in our hearts that God wants us to be loving, okay? All right, I'm going to say a prayer and y'all can say it after me, okay? Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us, even when we're not very nice, and help us to love other people, even when they're not very nice to us. Amen.
Gospel lesson this morning is found in the Gospel according to Matthew. Begin reading with the 38th verse of the 5th chapter. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. I have to give credit this morning for some of the thoughts from the sermon from a guy named James Meredith. As I was researching in this area, I became aware again of a statement that I had learned years ago that Mark Twain said, "It's not what I don't understand about scriptures that bothers me, it's what I do understand and don't do. That's what bothers me." The other day at lunch, I was talking with a gentleman, and we were discussing about people being a part of the church and not being a Christian. And as I reflected upon that moment, I have a problem with a statement like that. Because to be a Christian has got to be one of the easiest things in the world. I mean, all you have to say is that you believe in Jesus Christ and you accept Him into your heart, that you repent of your sins. And from that point on, it seems to me you're good to go. I remember several years ago going into the living room, the bedside of one of my parishioners who was preparing to die. He was an elderly gentleman, and he said to me, "Pastor, can you truly, truly know?" I said, "Truly know what?" "You know, truly know that you're really ready to go there." I said, "Well, you've taken communion numerous times in the church, right?" "Oh, yes, Pastor, many a time." "You've professed the Apostles' Creed?" "Oh, Pastor, so many times I can't count them." "Do you believe that?" "Yes, Pastor." "Then is there another issue?" "Well, Pastor, I need to make some confessions." "Oh, really? And who do you need to make these confessions to?" "My wife, Pastor." "Oh, this is something you haven't done before?" "No, Pastor." "Would you like to do that now?" "Yes, Pastor." So I went into the kitchen and brought his wife in to the living room area, and he confessed that he had been an unfaithful husband and that he was sorry. And as she stood there with tears in her eyes, she said, "Well, I've always known this. I just knew that you needed to confess it." As I thought about that time and was reminded again that to make a profession of faith and to become a Christian is easy, but to live out this Christian life, that's the issue. to live this life as Christ would have us to live. That's the issue. As I read this passage of Scripture again, and I thought about what this meant, and I realized that there's a necessity to understand Jewish mentality. There's even a necessity to embrace the Jewish faith as we truly understand our Christian heritage and to embrace them as a part of our journey. The fact of the matter is, we probably need to embrace practically every faith as a part of our journey. For each one has some value and each one has some good. And sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes to be the Christian with the right mentality and the right action is a struggle. In the Jewish occupied area where the Romans had taken control of Israel, any time a Roman soldier came up to you as a Jewish person and says, "Carry my bag," you were supposed to carry it. Carry it for 1,000 steps. Set it down. Look angrily at the soldier, I guess, and turn around and go back. Jesus is saying here, don't just go 1,000 steps, go 2,000 steps. Go 2 miles. There was a cloak that went around a Jewish person, and it was all types of security for them, but it, in the evenings, as the temperatures would drop there, it was that which kept them warm. It was also sometimes shade for them in the daytime. It was their outer garment. It was not unusual to give up one's shirt, the inner garment, but the outer garment was something special. It was akin to what they had when I was in Thailand. The missionary gave me one of these shroud-like things, and what each person would do is they would carry them. You'd see them carrying them all over the place, but I had no idea what they were used for until the missionary showed me. It was a cloth, and you wrap it around yourself, and at the end of the day, you put it in your mouth, and you had a pan of water over here, and you washed all over, and then you dried yourself off, you put your clothes back on, you took it off, and you threw it back over your shoulder, and you went on. Being an American, we think about taking a hot shower or a nice bath in a tub. All the world is not so privileged. Jesus is saying, when they come to you and ask for your inner garment, give them your outer garment as well. Give them that thing that gives you security. It's easy to become a Christian. It's something else to give your cloak as well. We as Americans think about those things that we want to have and want to own, and we even have that in our Constitution that we call the Bill of Rights. We have certain freedoms given to us. Bill Walton was playing basketball for John Wooden. John had said no one on his basketball team was going to have facial hair. Bill was a hot shot collegiate basketball player. He went off for family vacation, and when he came back, guess what? He had a beard. Coach Wooden came to him and says, "Bill, do you remember what I said to you and to the team about facial hair?" "Yes, sir, but as an American, it's my right to have a beard. There's no law against it. And John said, you're right. And we're going to miss you on this basketball team. You see, John had certain level of expectation for his players, and whether it was his right or not, it was also his responsibility to contribute to the rest of the team in a harmonious way that made them a true team. When you think about us and the church, and we think about our areas of responsibilities, there are certain areas that within our rights as Americans, we're totally right. Some of our ways that we choose to respond and act. No one is going to tell you that you cannot be a church member if you're not faithful in your attendance. It's your right as American not to respond, to sleep in, to watch on TV these whole host of preachers. No one is going to tell you that's illegal. But what does it mean when you become a part of the team? What does it mean when you become a responsible individual and member of Main Street United Methodist Church? Where is the rest of the team? It's only as we work together and as we labor together that we learn that it's one thing to be a Christian, it's another thing to be a second mile Christian. It's another thing to accept your responsibilities with diligence and to respond as Christ would be speaking to you to respond. And there are limits. There are limits for all of us. A young man was sitting at a stool in a restaurant, and a guy came up behind him and hit him across his shoulder and knocked him off the stool into the floor. And he said, "That's a karate chop from Japan." And the fellow was rather hurt. He kind of brushed it off a little bit, and the guy was much bigger than him. He got back on the stool. He was sitting there just for a few minutes. He grabbed him around his waist and he slung him off the stool and he threw him into the floor. He said, "That's Taekwondo from Japan." The little fella decided he'd leave the restaurant after those experiences, and the bully was laughing at him and said, "Yep, there he goes." It wasn't too long till the bully felt a sharp pain across his knee, and the little guy said, "And that's a crowbar from Sears." There are limits. There are limits of our endurance. When we don't hold up to our expectations, there are shortcomings. I'll give you this last illustration. Said a young man went into the store and he told the lady, he said, "I would like to buy a bottle of perfume." She said, "Oh, we have this bottle right here for $50. He said, "Well, I was looking for something a little cheaper." She said, "Okay, so we have this other bottle over here. It's a little smaller and it's $25. He said, "Well, could you get me something just a little cheaper?" And she said, "We'll have this other bottle here for $10. She said, "Do you have anything that you could show me that's any cheaper than this?" She said, "Yeah, would you go look in the mirror?" It's one thing to be a Christian. It's another thing to hear what Jesus is saying in this passage. And like Mark Twain, we might not fully grasp the detailed meaning in the Jewish community. But we can grasp what Jesus is speaking to us about our responsibility and our commitment and our dedication to Him. Are you willing to be a second mile Christian? Amen. Our closing hymn is number 396, Jesus, I Have Promised. We know that when we reach the end of our human capacities, that God's Holy Spirit is there to strengthen us, to enhance our human capabilities, and to make us stronger than what we normally would be. So receive now the benediction. Go forth from here today and dwelt by the Holy Spirit, made holy and kept pure, strengthened and sustained, guided and filled by the very Spirit of Jesus Christ.